What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is April 24th. And yes, we are going to talk about baseball, not that stupid sport, fantasy football. Oh my gosh. No, absolutely not. I'm wearing the shirt and the mug today. And I saw an email from Yahoo saying that it opened again. I'm like, this is our time. And it might be the time for Ryan Gusto. I know it's Gusto. I'm being so stupid. Ryan Gusto. Who might, you might be considering a Gusta move. And that's a Busta move from the video game. It's fine. 5.2 innings and 100 run three. It's one walk and six strikeouts and 80 pitches against the Jays on Sunday. Sorry, not Sunday, Wednesday. What is wrong with my brain? Here's the thing about him. He throws 93-94 with really good vert, right? It's like 18 to 19 inches of vert. That's cool. He actually has pretty good precision, keeping it in the upper half. There is nothing else. And if I look back at all the other guys that have had this kind of approach in the past, you sometimes will go for like, well, there's Joe Ryan and there's Bailey Ober without this immense velocity, but not necessarily the vert. Well, those guys were either a flat attack angle or an extension boy, right? And with Joe Ryan, it makes more sense. You have extension and flat angle. With Ober, you have only extension, and then you need the big changeup underneath it, right? And I'm sure there are others that I'm forgetting, but it's kind of Bowden Francis a bit doing this. But even with the Astros, we have the Pasta Pirate that is Spencer Arrighetti. Yeah, he needs a wide arsenal with whiffs. You need Ronald Blanco, who was slider focused and then added the changeup. That became a deal, a game changer for him. You have even Christian Javier, who had this really interesting vert fastball as well at 93-94, but he had this really good slider to support it as well. And then you have Jose Urquidy and Luis Garcia, who had other elements. You had the cutter and the slider for Luis Garcia Jr., and you have Jose Urquidy, really a whole all-encompassing thing. What I'm saying is that Gusto feels like that guy who is a random Astros pitcher is going to do well this year, and I don't know. I'm not as sold, because is that enough? Maybe. We've seen Christian Javier have those good games without the changeup in the slider, really without the slider, but the thing is, that slider really did act as the glue, and there really isn't anything else for Gusto. There might be a sweeper that is kind of okay against right-handers, but it's not amazing. He does get the Tigers next, so fine. I think you go with Gusto, you take a chance on it. Hopefully the POV loves him, because he throws a lot of strikes with his fastball. He is very good at that precision upstairs, and that might be the thing I'm underrating the most, is just that is too good of a fastball, Nick. I just hate the fact that there's nothing else, and it's not... It's not like a two-prong metric of extension and attack angle like it is with Joe Ryan. It's just vert, and sometimes just vert isn't enough. You just kind of cheat up a little bit more than you normally would. You think that in your head, and that's that. It's not timing-focused. Extension and flat attack angle is timing-focused. It can be so hard, right? You have fewer intersection points when it's flat. You have less time to see it when you have a good extension. But with movement, it's just about where is it going to go. And if you're able to just make an adjustment of going higher, then the timing should be there. So that's, keep that in mind with Gusto. We'll take a chance, and hopefully there's more with that sweeper. Reese Olson had a great game. 7-point winnings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts. 41% CSW and 17 whiffs. And here's the thing. I know I keep mentioning it to those who are watching on stream, but I think it's interesting. I had Reese Olson the bottom of probable start tier, because he was against the Padres and not shown having both his slider and his changeup working in one game yet. 41% CSW is a King Cole. We love it. Amazing. This was so good. He had 9 whiffs on his changeup, 8 whiffs on a slider, and the 8 whiffs led to a 57% CSW on it. Oh, so good. And his sinker was not over the middle of the plate. It was spotted like Waldo experts do every single time. Hey, there he is. Look at that sinker right there down and away. I recognize it because it's red and white. My gosh, I can't say the right words. My point of the matter is that Olson finally did the thing, and it was against the Padres, which is not really a team you want to go against. I got hate mail for this, because I had Olson at the bottom of probable start, underneath guys like Eduardo Rodriguez, who has been cruising and got the Rays, and Festa, who got the White Sox. And it was the same tier. And look, I get it. Like, if you guys want to send me hate mail, by all means, go ahead. I'll be the mysterious thing that you just objectify to let out your anger and vent and take it out on me. Same tier. Honestly, the guy wanted to pick up Reese Olsen before Opa said, yeah, go take a chance. It could be this one. I'm just so happy he did. Just root for guys to be dope. All right? And I'm so happy about this. So I feel like you got to go with Reese Olsen right now. He's clearly feeling it. And he hasn't fielded it all year. Okay? Carlos Rodon against the Guardians. 7 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 8 strikeouts. 17 whiffs as well. 33% CSW. He looks so good. 5/19 whiffs on the changeup. Oh my gosh. 72% strike rate on that slider as well. Oh man, so good. So good, Carlos Rodon. Thank you so much. And by the way, if you are upset at me, hey, I'll take all the criticism. Just come talk to me on the morning stream. My office hours are 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. every single weekday morning here at playback.tv/pitcherlist. Okay? I will talk it all out with you. And I am very wrong all the time. I'm not in the business of being right. I am in the business of good discussion. So let's have some fun rhetoric. The one thing I say is if you are upset about one of my takes, be upset with it before the performance happens. Because if you got no reason to disagree beforehand, then you can't tell me about it after. That's just not fair. Logan Webb against the Brewers, 6.1 innings, 0 runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 6 strikeouts. 14% changeups total? 23% to lefties. That should be like 35% usage to lefties. He loves the sweeper. 42% CSW, 6/36 whiffs on it. Okay, fine. I'll take it. Like, Logan Webb, just because he's throwing fewer changeups doesn't mean that I'm inherently upset. I'm only upset if he's replacing with something that's worse. But it's not. He's doing great. Wonderful things. We like wonderful things. And yeah, he got the win against the Brewers. He got saved with the bullpen in a tough situation. Got out of that jam. No problem. Everything is great. Andrew Heaney against the Angels. Man, he's cruising in this Vargas rule. 6 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit with 0 walks. Andrew Heaney, 6 innings, 9 strikeouts. He had 24 whiffs for Gallows Pole and a 40% CSW. That stupid Reese Olsen. Those meddling kids taking away that golden goal from me. Really good Blake Snell blueprint. He is at 90 miles per hour in that fastball, though. It's really weird to see like Andrew Heaney just clicking at the moment. But Vargas ruled against the Cubs, right? Right? I think so. I can't go any higher than that. That's it. You do you, guys. We know Andrew Heaney has had a whole history of being really good at times and then just... So I hope this continues on, but we'll see what happens. Good luck, everyone. Miles Michaelis, 6 innings, 0 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 2 strikeouts. I gotta say, this is the thing that gets lost the most inside of fantasy baseball. I really, really mean this. We see a guy like Miles Michaelis. I say it all the time. Like, yeah, he should not be on your fantasy rosters. He really shouldn't. But even guys that are on the do not start tier, the reason the do not start tier is because their poor starts are just so bad. While the ones that are quote-unquote effective is this, 6 innings, 0 runs, but 8 base runners, so that's a 1.33 whip, and then you have only 2 strikeouts, so you don't really gain anything there, and then you didn't get a win, right? So all you get is the win, the 0 runs, but you got a hurt whip. However, Miles Michaelis is 3/5 in productive ERA starts, right? Everyone who is bad is still a major leaguer for a reason. And most of the time, to be a starting pitcher in the majors, unless you're like the guy who's just replacing on the Marlins or the Pirates or whatever, and they just need some innings and you know that this shouldn't work, like, or they have a massive contract like it was with Patrick Corbin. Actually, not a good example, because even Patrick Corbin was like 40% good outings, while 60% were just so bad, right? So keep that in mind. When you're doing desperate streams, like, even against Atlanta, for Miles Michaelis, like, there is an opportunity. There is a chance. And yes, you'll have to get lucky. But still, yeah, this can work at times. Ben Kasparias against the Cubs. Only 40 pitches thrown, which is unfortunate because it looks like he'll get another opportunity. The Dodgers are playing this whole options game with Kasparias. Well, not Kasparias, I guess, as much. But, like, Bobby Miller. And they did it with Justin Rybalski. And Landon Knack, and Kasparis is kind of part of that crew. It used to be like Michael Grove and Gavin Stone were in that, if you remember this. But it's 2.2 innings of 0 runs, 1 hit, 0 walks, and 4 Ks. I wish he'd actually like get runway. I don't like that he's a 6-foot extension guy. It's actually 5.9. But he throws 96. He has 91 mile per hour cutters, and he has a slower slider at 85, and that can work. Like, we see it right here against the Cubs for 4 innings. Or, not 4 innings, I'm sorry, for 2.2 innings. But, yeah, 40 pitches. Not there. Bryce Elder against the Cardinals, the same idea as Michaelis. 6 innings, 1 earned run, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 2 Ks. Pretty much the same exact thing, just 1 earned run as opposed to 0. Birthday parties, baby. Trevor Williams, never Trevor. And I actually saw on Twitter someone kind of asking, what's wrong with Never Trevor? Why wouldn't I do this? Well, I mean, first of all, like, Trevor Williams is just not someone you really want to go after in fantasy. Yes, I understand there are times that he locates well down and it's, you know, he has good pitch separation. He gets away with all these fastballs down the middle. But really, there are two people named Trevor that I just don't like as humans. And I think you can be very happy as a fantasy manager not rostering these guys and having to think about them. Because also, Trevor Williams is not someone that is going to really shape your fantasy leagues. Unless you're in like a deep NL-only league, I get it, fine. But like, just don't. Just don't. You can do better. Bryce Wilson against... and Trevor Williams certainly can do better off the field too. All right, Bryce Williams against the Twins. 2.2 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 2 Ks. Yeah, he's not supposed to be starting regularly. Okay, cool. You have Emerson Hancock against the Red Sox. My gosh, I should have given him maybe the gold star. 6 innings, 2 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 7 Ks. 13 for 31 called strikes against the Red Sox on that sinker. That's how everything worked. I mean, that's really, a four-seamer up to 94, which is, had a couple whiffs in there. Emerson Hancock is not a polished pitcher. So that's that, right? I'm seeing a question in chat, by the way, which I like seeing a lot, and this is why you got to hang out for this. Is Spencer Arrighetti a clear upgrade over Taj Bradley? Well, Magic Oriole, yes. I would say Spencer Arrighetti is something that I think can be clearer as a hold, rather than Taj Bradley, which is really just every other start. I know that Spencer Arrighetti wasn't really looking consistent before, but we saw that in the second half, and that felt much more real and also a better outlook for development than Taj Bradley. So yes, I would favor the pasta pirate that is Spencer Arrighetti instead. All right, Brady Singer went, so did Jack Ahonowitz, Zach Wheeler, JP Sears, David Peterson. We also have some interesting things like Sugano. Is this real? We're going to talk about all of that after this break. Brady Singer against the Marlins did well, got the win, and he didn't really pitch that well, I'll be honest with you. The sinker was so hittable to right-handers, and he saw mostly lefties and didn't really have the best slider, so we only saw about 5 whiffs on it, but he did throw 4 seamers a decent amount, and I think it did help him, but it is the Marlins, so I can't really tell too much. 6 innings, 200 runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 8 Ks. We move on. Jack Ahonowitz, a jack of one trade, expanded to sliders and 4 seamers. We also got bad data. Yay! But really watching this one, I mean, he made a mistake too, and Nell Cruz, who destroyed it. It was like such a bad slider. Oh my gosh, it was so bad. It was 88 just down the pipe, and like, it's not your best pitch. It's just, don't do it. Oh my gosh. But he did what he was supposed to do for the streaming victory. 6 innings of 200 runs. It's a 3 ERA. Yes, you don't like the 1.5 whip. 3 Ks, like, this is fine enough. You got a poor quality start, essentially. Not really, but it's a quality... I don't know what I should say. Like, poor quality starts defined by ERA and whip. If it's lower on this, lower on that. I do, like, VPP. I do VPQS. So maybe, like, PQQS? No. I don't know. I'll figure that one out. You guys can help me out. If you understand what I mean, you're a real one. Zach Wheeler against the Mets. 6 innings, 2 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 9 strikeouts. It's actually pretty cool to see the splitter and the sweeper hang around. But the 4-seamer is just so good right now. And it's Zach Wheeler because, of course, it is. David Peterson, 5.1 innings, 2 runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, and 2 Ks on the other side of it against the Phillies. Not really a good one. 5 whiffs and 19% CSW. The change in slider were just not around the zone. Not under the zone. And the Phillies, after just taking everything from Tyler McGill, like, they just didn't swing against him. It was pretty funny. They swung all the time against David Peterson. So they just went after these pitches that were in the zone. And I feel like, hey, Peterson, you had to go out of the zone with those pitches and would have been, I think, overall better and not get singled out. But he gets Arizona next. I think that's a questionable start. But generally, David Peterson should be a Toby, if not a little bit better. You have JP Sears against the Rangers. Got the win. 5 innings, 200 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks. We watched this live on Playback yesterday. Playback.tv/pitcherlist. Because it was Nick Kurtz's MLB debut. I was there. I know. For a hitter's debut. But guess what? He's been talking about it during our monthly Nick conventions. And we've been all excited about it. So I had to show up for the guy. Great to see it. I'm happy. Huge shout out to the Playback chat for yelling at me to stash Nick Kurtz 2 weeks ago when I had an open NA spot. So thank you so much, chat, for that. But for JP Sears, he just faced only right-handers and threw so many sweepers and 4-seamers over the zone, like in the plate. And it's, I really hate seeing that where it's just, oh, cool, there's no real game plan. Just like, here it is. And it's like, all right, I guess that worked. You have Cal Hart against the Tigers, 4.1 innings, only 70 pitches, 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts. You know, I'm waiting for this to really work for Hart, to be a good Toby that we can stream. He does get a decent matchup next. I still don't want to do that with Kyle Hart. I feel like we're not in that position where we can really trust that his sweeper and his changeup are going to be there at a high enough level for us to say, yeah, I should stream him against the Giants up next, right? It's just not quite there for me. So you have David Festa against the White Sox. He got demoted to AAA with Pablo Lopez returning. It's unfortunate because I feel like he should be here instead of Simeon Woods Richardson and Chris Paddock. But then again, Chris Paddock's been good. Simeon Woods Richardson, not so much. But Festa, yeah, you do not have command. And it's so annoying because this was against the White Sox. This should have been a beneficial start for you. 4 innings, 200 runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, 5 Ks. You got pulled after 84 pitches. You might be upset that the Twins pulled him early. No, 84 pitches. This is your fault, Festa. Don't blame Rocco Baldelli for this one. And he just doesn't have the game plan set. It should be a Blake Snell blueprint. He should be doing the Imperial Shuttle of 4 seamers up, sliders down in glove side, and changeups down in arm side. He just can't do it. Sliders floated too much. His fastball can't get there. It's not there, and I really can't get on the Festa train until I see that. I think it's going to be way too volatile. He's just a hipster when he does come up. Zebby Matthews, way more into better command. Tomoyuki Sugano, 7 innings, 3 earned runs. Well, he allowed all 3 in the first inning, 2 home runs there, and 5 hits, 0 walks, and 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? 6 shutout with 1 strikeout after with only 2 hits. I don't buy that. I mean, the splitter was 31% usage and had the blessings of Koufax, 17% CSW. I mean, generally splitters do perform better than fastballs, say, in the zone. Like, they induce worse contact, right, for hitters. It doesn't surprise you that probably, I think it's sinkers that have the worst outcome with contact. I think that's right. Is that or 4-seamers? It's always fastballs. Which makes sense, of course, because it's hard to throw secondaries for strikes. But anyway, Sugano, you can't buy it. If you want to roll the dice with Koufax, go ahead. But yeah, I feel for Baltimore right now. I really do. So we got to give him a shot, but they lost 4-3. Sandy Alcantara against the Reds. 6 innings, 3 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. 97-98 mile per hour velocity is what we like to see. 102 pitches. Also, it was 17 whiffs. Great. The slider wasn't very good. The changeup was much better against lefties. The 4-seamer and sinker command is just bad right now. Lefties, no. And righties, lefties got the 4-seamer, righties against the sinker. Ugh, not quite it. And at least we got the changeup. So I'm fine with it. We just keep going. I mean, this is the Reds on the road, which is kind of bad. Like, they're really, really bad on the road. And to see Alcantara fail to take advantage of this, yeah, you can blame the command is just not right there. But the velocity is there. Changeup's looking good, so we just keep going. Matthew Boyd got a very, very, very poor quality start, because that's what I'm talking about. The real ones before was 6 innings of 3 runs and 11 base runners, 10 hits, 1 walk, and 4 Ks. But it was against the Dodgers. He got a win. That's, hey, props to you, Boyd. Now you're going to get the Pirates, and I cannot wait for that. Taj Bradley, as I mentioned before, is very volatile. 6 innings, 300 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, 3 Ks. If you're not in a quality start league, this just did not help you, right? 4.5 ERA with a 1.67 whip is not really... No, that's not right. 8 base runners is a 1.33? I think I got that right. 1.17 is 7. Okay. Not good. You don't want this. And Taj Bradley is always going to go back and forth with his command. I will say it could have been worse with the way that he just couldn't locate anything. He was just like, I don't know, just going to the zone. And I don't want to deal with it. He's a hipster. You know this, headache-inducing pitcher stifling the entire roster. Freddy Peralta has been like that at times, but hasn't really for the most part this year. 5 innings, 3 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 3 Ks. Professor Chaos showed up. He just didn't have his command, which is really unfortunate because Freddy Peralta faced the Giants. Oh, you could have really taken advantage of this. By the way, I realized that I didn't mention, I'm sure no one got it, but I said Taj Mahal draft approach revolving around you. Revolved around you. It's supposed to be Taj Mahal draft. That's the whole stupidity of that one. Fine. Okay. I so sorry. Bowden Francis at the Astros. You know, it's kind of funny. I said, fine. I threw up my hands. I talked to Eno. I was like, Eno, what is it about Bowden Francis? He's like, well, he's near 7 feet of extension and he has like 18 inches of vert on that fastball. That's why it's so good. I was like, fine. I'll just accept it with Francis, even though I hate the secondaries. And since I said that, like, Bowden Francis has not been good. 4.2 innings, 300 runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, and 2 strikeouts. Should've stuck by my guns. I don't know. I mean, I do get it. 7 feet of extension, 17 to 18 inches of vert. Fine. But, like, the splitter and curve are just not good. Eduardo Rodriguez against the Rays, 6.2 innings, 4 earned runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts. Careful liquor series. He allowed 2 earned runs early. That was cruising. Got pulled in the 7th with 2 men on, and bam, there you go. Last 2 earned runs. Oh, so close against the Rays, who aren't that scary. Hosting them in Arizona, and 5 strikeouts in about 7 innings. That's about right. Those of you expecting him to go 22 strikeouts in 2 games like he did before, no. 13 Ks and 9 Ks. That's not Eduardo Rodriguez. It's just not. Like, this is closer to it. 5 Ks in about 7 innings. Okay, you'll be happy with a strikeout per inning from Eduardo Rodriguez. He's just a Toby. Sean Newcomb is still here, and I'll say this. Eric Samulski has constantly mentioned with Lucas Giolito that the Red Sox get a really good team favorable contract if he doesn't pitch 140 innings this year, Lucas Giolito. And then I said, look, they're going to let him go from the beginning of the year. You can't really stop him. But because of this injury, this hamstring injury, they've been pushing him back from returning, and Sean Newcomb is making all these starts. 5 innings, 4 runs, 8 hits, 2 walks, and 8 strikeouts. And honestly, like, I get it. You say, you can't have Sean Newcomb in here. 4 runs versus 2 runs. It's like you're weighing, like, okay, maybe we have a decent chance of this one single game or like 4 single games versus much better chance in all of 2026, you know, with having Lucas Giolito on your team for so much cheaper. I get it. They're going to do that. So Samulski sent me all these things about how Giolito is not going to go 140 innings this year. He's totally right, but the hamstring injury is what really created that opportunity. Now they're seizing it. Totally get it. You probably won't see Giolito for like another week just for that reason. It's kind of funny. Sean Newcomb obviously should not be started. Kumar Rocker shouldn't be started. I'm so sorry. 1.2 innings of 5 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 2 Ks. He got a little more unlucky than the line will tell you right now, though. I will say this. Like, he didn't pitch nearly as poorly as we have seen against the lefties. He actually got the Blake Snell blueprint working. Fastballs up and in against lefties. Sliders down more than I've seen. He also threw this amazing changeup to Nick Kurtz, and I felt so bad for him for that whiff. It was also a RBI single that just found enough movement or enough grass to go past a diving second baseman up the middle. But yeah, Kumar Rocker did not pitch nearly as badly as the line suggests. But yeah, he's not a finished product, and you shouldn't treat him as such. So you don't need to go after Kumar Rocker. Well, Luis L. Ortiz against the Yankees, 4.1 innings of 4 runs, 5 hits, 5 walks, 8 strikeouts, 20 whiffs against the Yankees. What? He didn't land his four-seamer upstairs a ton. Get this. 41% strike rate across 28% usage. The whiffs actually came from sliders going 5 whiffs, cutter going 5 whiffs, and changeup going 5 whiffs. And you're like, wait, changeup? I'm like, I know! What? Luis Ortiz is not a changeup guy. That was 89, 90 miles per hour at a 62% strike rate. Crazy. I dig it. I hope that changeup sticks around. Can you throw four seamers better than 41% strikes and actually upstairs though? That's the thing. Luis Ortiz, you had 2 games of this high location. I'm like, oh, that could be it. But someone asked me like, why aren't you more in on this? Because he's doing the thing that you asked him to do because his command has been so bad for so long. So yeah, it's still bad. But then you have this changeup now. He is so interesting. He gets the Twins now. I'm going for that start. I think Luis Ortiz is... it's a weird collection of new tricks, old tricks. And you know what? I'm saying this out loud. I'm realizing that my whole thing is like, hey, when a pitcher has new things and you want the old things to return with the new thing always goes away first before the old thing returns. It's just, it's like 90% of the time. It could happen with Luis Ortiz. I should also mention anytime you see like, well, you can have success this way or that way. So when he doesn't have this one, he has that one. Those also fail long-term. You need those things always. You need some consistency, and then hopefully something else helps or not, right? You need consistency. So yeah, I'm not really buying it with Luis Ortiz, but you should roll with it against the Twins and just see what happens. Okay, cool. 20 whiffs against the Yankees, 104 pitches. That's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. All right, that is it for today's edition of the Plus Pitch Podcast. I can't thank you guys enough for watching this live. You can also watch these in the SP Roundups. Actually, if you go back and watch the previous SP Roundups, I started adding it yesterday. You can watch the live video of this to enjoy it as well. So definitely go and consider that if you just want the live experience, the extra element Moving forward, instead of listening to the podcast, you can just watch the YouTube video. It's pretty cool. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high. Bye-bye.